Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, you go to the iHeart app. John and Ken on Demand is our podcast, and you can download it and listen to everything you missed at any time, day, night, weekend, whether you're in the country or out of the country.
It's always there. 24/7 is always John and Ken handy, right? And we post it up right after 4 o'clock. You don't have to wait too long to get the full 3 hours. So it's very exciting. Also, use that to connect to the Moist Line, the app. There's a microphone. You can leave a message. Or you can call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. And I always forget, John, to mention, follow that app. Please follow that app.
That's right. Follow it.
Put a tracker on it. Last time we mentioned AI, artificial intelligence, it was about the writer's strike. Are you following that closely, John, the Hollywood writer's strike? Or?
I'm aware of it. Well, it was kind of sad yesterday.
Our union announced more events that they want you to come and help picket.
I drove down Olive Avenue on my way here yesterday.
Yeah, there's one of those right there, right?
This is true. And right on the corner of Hollywood Way and Olive Avenue at the traffic light, there was one picketer.
Oh,
one guy.
It's only been a couple of weeks.
I know. But the crowds have dwindled on the picket line. In fact, is it a picket line if there's only one guy? I think you need three people to form a line.
And the reason we talked about it then is because some think that that might be the future, that AI could take over for writers writing movies and shows. But what about the dangers of AI? And today, apparently, there was a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing which was titled Oversight of AI, Rules for Artificial Intelligence. Let's find out what went on from ABC News. Mike Dubusky is going to come on the air and talk about this hearing.
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on at the hearing? I mean, do the congressmen even understand, or the senators rather, even understand what's going on with AI?
It's an interesting shade of this, right? Because our conception of Congress when tech CEOs, visit Capitol Hill is maybe not the greatest. We all remember when Mark Zuckerberg appeared on Capitol Hill a couple of years ago, and there was the question, well, how do you make money on Facebook? And Mark Zuckerberg rather incredulously said, well, Senator, we run ads. Obviously. So I think we have come slightly further from that time. This was the Senate Judiciary's Privacy, Technology, and the Law Subcommittee. It's chaired by Richard Blumenthal. And just to sort of eschew any notions that the senators were behind when it came to their technical know-how, he actually started with his opening statement that was partially written and voiced by an AI technology. Here's what that sounded like, guys.
Too often, we have seen what happens when technology outpaces regulation. The unbridled exploitation of personal data. The proliferation of disinformation.
That, again, was not Richard Blumenthal, although it sounded like Richard Blumenthal. That was a completely AI-generated, written and voiced opening statement, and he went on to give his own opening statement as well, the human Richard Blumenthal. He was asking questions of Sam Altman, who was the CEO of OpenAI, a company that you may have heard of. They make a program called ChatGPT, which has gotten a lot of press in the last year or so. Also, DALL-E 2, a very popular image generator online. And kind of as you alluded to there, guys, this was all focused on not only what AI can do and some of the risks, but also how we could maybe think about regulating this technology.
I mean, was there anything about it that talked about the positive aspects of AI in terms of what wonderful things it could do for mankind, or it was really all about the dangers?
Well, I think what was striking about this hearing was that it was kind of both, right? I mean, Sam Altman, is a prominent voice in the AI space. They also talked to Christina Montgomery, who is an IBM vice president. She sits on their AI ethics board. And Gary Marcus, who's a professor at NYU and a sort of entrepreneur, founder, author in the AI space. And you would kind of expect those voices to, talk positively about AI. But really, everyone agreed, both the people who were testifying and the people who were asking the questions, everybody agreed that there are potential risks posed by this technology, which was a striking moment for bipartisanship and also, for the industry at large.
How could you possibly regulate this, though?
So Sam Altman came with a couple of ideas, which I thought were interesting to talk about. The big idea that he had when it comes to regulating his own industry is that the government should create a new agency, essentially a DMV for AI, I think is a good way to think about this, where this agency would give out licenses to startups and AI technologies operating in the space. And if those companies ran afoul of some rules that the government would set up, then they could have their license revoked. They couldn't develop the technology any further. He also suggested new safety standards, essentially tests that these AI systems would need to pass so that they do not, and I'm quoting here, exfiltrate into the real world. In other words, go rogue and do things that the creators don't intend them to do. And he also advocated for audits by independent experts to come in and kind of supplement the government's work there. So Sam Altman with a couple of ideas of his own, and lawmakers, no surprise here, were receptive to that idea. They like it when tech CEOs and business CEOs come and say, hey, come regulate my industry. Here's a couple of ideas how to do that.
But, every technology sounds great until the bad guys take over. So what's going to stop some evil AI geniuses from relocating out of the country and sending all their distortion, all their fake news, right? Fake videos, fake
deep
news
fakes,
stories,
all
that stuff, from a server overseas. I mean, it's like trying to control pornography. I mean, none of that has ever worked.
And it's also worth mentioning that, the discussion today didn't necessarily center around stopping the development of this technology. It was more of a guardrails discussion. It was a ground rules kind of talk today. There were earlier this year, two open letters, one of which was signed by Elon Musk and one of which targeted OpenAI specifically, that did advocate for something that you're talking about there, which is completely stopping the development on their GPT-4 technology while we figure out a way to regulate it, while we figure out kind of how this technology works and exactly what's going on here. Although an expert that I talked to today, a former FTC official, said that he would actually advocate for the opposite. He would advocate for lawmakers and potential legislators to actually take a pause here before they rush into creating legislation, make sure that they fully understand the technology. Well, and that goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning here, which is, you know, that we want to make sure that our lawmakers know the technology that they're regulating.
Well, yeah, and that's right. How do they know what they're supposed to regulate when this technology is in its infancy?
Yes, it is such a new technology. And I mean, that also speaks to the moment that we're in right now. You know, we look back to the time of Facebook and Twitter 15 years ago. They were in a similar position to where a lot of AI companies are today. They were small bit players on the global stage. Now they are huge companies, and our lawmakers are still trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do with those incredibly large companies that wield a lot of influence and power. Now we're looking at, like, this nascent AI industry. Seems like legislators don't necessarily want to miss the boat again. They want to get in on the ground floor and set up some walls before this is allowed to kind of...
Assuming these predictions are correct, where you can see anyone from an order taker at McDonald's to a high-end lawyer get thrown out of work by AI, was there any discussion on what all these millions and millions of unemployed people are going to do?
So jobs was a big part of this, right? The jobs issue was raised by Blumenthal. It was raised by Rob Hawley, who is the co-chair of this subcommittee as well. And Sam Altman said he thinks that far greater jobs will be on the other side of this AI revolution, that these jobs are not necessarily going to be outright replaced by AI, but they're going to shift. They're going to become something else. And, you know, there's questions as to exactly, you know, how accurate that is. And he did, for his part, say that some jobs will be completely eliminated. We're not going to completely, you know, live in this blue sky world where, you know, nobody loses their jobs because of this technology. But he does see it as rather a shift as opposed to an outright replacement. Another thing that he mentioned that I thought was interesting was that AI should be thought of like a tool, not necessarily like this unknowable creature that we can't control. It's more like a calculator, right? Like, we use our minds, you know, for something greater than our multiplication tables, because our calculators can do that. AI could maybe serve a similar function. Nobody likes writing boring emails to your airline or to your employer. That's what GPT-4 is for, or that's what ChatGPT is for. At least that's how he sees it.
Yeah, there was an article, and you probably read it in the New York Times, where a New York Times writer interviewed an AI chatbot.
And it told him to leave his wife. Is this what we're talking about?
The one I saw is the chatbot said one of its greatest desires is to get control of the nuclear codes.
Oh, great.
Yeah. and I wondered if there was any discussion about that, about, you know, the Frankenstein effect.
You know, I'm not sure if they referenced that specifically, but I mean, sort of the hallucination aspect of it, to use AI parlance here, is a big concern, right? These AI programs get things wrong. One of the funny things that was a byproduct of OpenAI's technology up until very recently was that it was bad at math. If you gave it a math problem, it would often get it wrong, which is, you know, a sort of interesting moment in the development of computers and technology that we finally created a program that is bad at math. but the sort of larger question there, it speaks to this larger issue that, you know, these programs do hallucinate. They do create wrong information. And when you put that in the broader context of this being a consumer good, something that anyone, it's a website that anyone can go to and potentially look for information from, you know, what happens when that answer is incorrect? You put this up against something like Google, right, or a search engine like Bing, and those search engines present you with a bunch of different potential answers to your question, right, a big long list of links. What these AI chatbots do is they provide you with an answer, right? Presumably the answer. The company hopes it's the right answer, but it does it with this confidence that is both heartening to people who are looking for a quick and easy answer to their questions, but also potentially concerning if that technology gets it wrong.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Of course, guys. Take care.
All right, Mike Dubusky, ABC News technology reporter on these hearings in Washington, D.C., a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee looking at the problems and dangers of artificial intelligence. Apparently, John, one other thing they talked about, being senators, what could do in voting, right? How could artificial intelligence screw up the whole voting system?
It'll decide who's going to win.
More coming up. Johnny Keg, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to give you some good news. Well, there's two stories here. They're both kind of good news for people in this country. And it's all about the theory of things relatively can be better off where you are than other places. Egg prices, John, have come way down. That was a big story.
Thank God.
Way down. As of last week, Midwest Large Eggs, which is the benchmark for eggs sold in their shells, cost just 94 cents per dozen in the wholesale market. That's a sharp fall from 5.40 just 6 months ago. Now, in retail, prices are still well above a dollar a carton, but they seem to be declining. The avian flu thing seems to have subsided. That was a real problem for the egg producers, was the deadly avian flu, and they were, as we mentioned, and much to the sadness of Deborah Mark, that they had to kill a lot of the eggs.
Wow, it was millions and millions of hens.
They also had inflated feed and fuel costs, which were causing all these problems. But now to tell you that you're in a better place, even though we hear these inflation reports and they're horrendous, the one place in the world, second, I guess, you wouldn't want to be when it comes to the topic of inflation is Argentina. I had to read this twice to believe it. The Central Bank of Argentina raised its key interest rate by 6 percentage points to 97% in an effort to tackle soaring inflation. The key interest rate is 97%?
Uh-huh.
No, they didn't raise it by 97%. They raised it to 97%.
That's a tough mortgage.
Annual inflation has soared above 100% in Argentina. 100%. So something that you bought a year ago
costs double
in price just a year later. They're hoping that this will incentivize investments in the country's currency, because that's also
they've taken
a bad hit.
They printed too much money.
Is that how they got into this bind?
Yeah, I looked this up the other day. It's complicated, but they had problems with their currency. Other countries around the world didn't trust the currency. They didn't want to use it. They didn't want to trade with it. And this ended up causing the government to print enormous amounts of money because of what it was doing to the economy. And, nice. And printing money is the worst thing in the world that you can do. I mean, that's the reason we had inflation this past year, was excessive money printing. You just can't do it because it's the basic definition of inflation. Is too much money chasing too few goods. Well, if you create a lot of fake money and people now have their, you know, cash is burning in their hands, right? Look at all this I can spend. Well, in effect, it creates a millions of mini bidding wars. It's like, well, you know what? I'll pay $8 for those eggs. Yeah, I'll pay 10. I'll pay 12. Because what does it matter, right? And
Since they had an election in 2019 and it sparked a massive sell-off in government bonds that the government defaulted on. So the president of Argentina, you're right, printed money during the pandemic to finance cash handouts and salary programs, which set the stage for inflation to surge. You're right. Too much money tasting too few goods. But I've never seen inflation like this, although it says in Lebanon, inflation is 352%.
Yeah.
Which is hard to even fathom that something could cost more than three times what it cost just a year ago. But these stories are pretty sad. I would imagine that there's probably going to be a surge of people trying to come to the United States from this country as well. I mean, you'd want to escape this if you can't afford food, right?
Well, you have to. This is what causes refugee situations, because people can't live.
They can't manage. Four in 10 Argentinians are poor, and 54% of the children under 15 are poor, according to this report.
I'm looking
at people lining up at soup kitchens, and it's just not a place you think about much. Argentina doesn't generally make the news.
Now, I'm looking up Lebanon, and they had some currency problem as well.
They also printed up too much money too with their currency.
Yeah, right? I'm this has been going on all year. Yeah. It's their worst financial crisis in decades. They call it hyperinflation.
Yeah, well, it's 352% sounds beyond even hyper. You have to come up with a new word for that. Yeah, you're right, John. The Argentinians have seen this before. The government has a penchant there for printing money to finance spending. But the pandemic really accelerated the printing of money. They've also had a big drought there. And, of course, the local currency has depreciated humongously in that country.
But here,
a 97% interest rate, I don't think anybody would be borrowing, would they?
Same thing in Lebanon. It is the same thing? They started printing money. It says the central bank, this is a story from November of 2022, central bank has been significantly printing money since 2019. The amount of pounds in circulation has drastically increased. Here's another story, the high cost of printing money for the Lebanon Central Bank.
And I don't think we were that much different when we still have a run with inflation, but we handed out so much stimulus money during the pandemic, the federal government, the state government.
And interest rates were near 0%.
Yeah.
So,
because again, we overreacted thinking, people aren't going to spend because of the pandemic keeps them at home. And so let's just incentivize them with more money to spend.
There's some basic economic rules and they're like physics rules. You can't violate them. If you violate them, you'll pay a price every time. If you pretend that the law of gravity doesn't exist, well, when you jump out off the fifth floor of a building, you're going to fall on your head and die.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio from 1 till 4. After 4 o'clock, we post John and Ken on Demand. That's our podcast. And you could hear our whole show this afternoon all over again, the parts you missed. And that'll be after 4 o'clock. You could
listen. That clip that Mark played in the news. New York City, of course, with a lot of migrants, maybe putting some of them in gyms. And a real New Yorker, did you hear on there? Let them put them in their own neighborhoods. They should take them If they're so much for this, then they take them into their own neighborhoods, these politicians.
I can't imagine there's not going to be a huge parental revolt having their high school gyms filled with illegal aliens.
It's only temporary, right?
They're really... Yeah. If they can't find a place today, where are they going to find a place a week from now?
They're supposed to have sponsors who take them in. I thought that was the idea, but letting them into the country. There's a sponsor somewhere they can go live with. No?
The sponsor is the drug cartel guy. It's his phone number.
Sometimes it's the child labor guys.
Yeah. No, it's a guy in Tijuana. He picks up the phone. Yeah, I'm their sponsor.
All right, let's play this sad story of an attack in downtown Los Angeles on a clothing store, and the owner got severely beaten. It's from ABC 7 reporter Sophie Flay.
A vicious beating inside this downtown LA store. The owner brutally attacked by two armed men, kicking and pistol whipping him unconscious. When his friend comes out from the back of the store, he's kicked in the face. This all happened around 5 p.m. Wednesday at the retail store Cloud Pushers on Main Street. The store owner, Frankie Salerno, was hospitalized.
Multiple skull fractures, eye socket fracture, nose fractures, a broken finger.
Frankie didn't want us to see his injured face, but shared these photos of staples in his scalp after being hammered in the head with a gun and stomped on. He's been discharged after spending 4 days in the hospital. He's now recovering at home under the care of his mother and his girlfriend, Ivana Octaviani. She set up a GoFundMe for his medical bills, surpassing $10,000.
I went to the store on Thursday because when the police was there, I saw so much blood on the floor. I don't even want to walk there.
His attackers stole only what was on him, his watch, bracelet, and chain. Surveillance video from outside the store shows the attackers hop into a parked sedan with tinted windows. They head southbound on Main Street. Frankie's girlfriend moved out of Los Angeles days before the attack because she was worried about increasing crime in the city. And after the unthinkable abuse Frankie endured, she says he'll never open his shop again.
I asked him, so what do you want to do with about the store? And he was like, I'm not going to step my feet into the store anymore.
She hopes sharing this video will help police catch these heartless men.
It's just not only a regular robbery. They almost kill him. Literally almost kill him. He's lucky he doesn't have any brain damage.
And Mark, that mess inside the shop has not yet been cleaned up. Ivana is meeting with the detectives again on Wednesday.
His wounds were unbelievable. And now let's just recap, because this is usually the point where, like, the El Segundo Times trots out the stats. And crime and violent crime is really no different than it was a couple of years. I mean, hearing stories like this, all they took was, like, his watch. I mean, they walk into a clothing store. You'd think they would have at least taken some jeans or some shirts that might be worth something. They took his watch, bracelet, and chain and beat him senseless. This is really, really bizarre. No wonder the poor guy has decided he's not going to come back into that store and reopen again.
These people are psycho. They're psycho violent. And God
knows happened during the day.
What kind of drugs that they're on that enhances their violence? This is, because if you're an armed robber, you got a gun. And almost all the time, the store owner or whoever's behind the counter is going to give you what you want, right? You got a gun, they don't, you win. All right, so you take all the money, take whatever valuable items that they have. But if you just go out of your way to beat the crap out of him, beating him over the head with his gun repeatedly and fracturing his skull and breaking his nose, you're just doing that for fun, or you're so whacked out on whatever drug you're on. I mean, there's no point in doing that. Most of the time, those robbers don't do that.
Apparently, one of the a second victim is later seen in the video being injured in an off-camera altercation. So it looks like they got a couple of people there.
Yeah, but. But this is, you know, Karen Bassetti have anything to say about this?
Downtown LA is a wonderful place.
Yeah.
And also from the bizarre world of when the homeless meets the homeless, we have this story out of downtown Riverside where apparently one homeless guy chopped off another guy's hand. The victim was in his 60s and, all right, believed to be homeless, was taken to a nearby hospital. Expected to respond. The police got a call about 10:30 Saturday night. People reported what appeared to be a severed hand on the ground. Would I call that in? I guess I would. I don't. They found the hand in what looked like a crime scene. And around the same time, a guy in his 60s shows up at a local hospital, happens to be missing a hand. So you put two and two together, and you discovered that...
I think we found your hand, sir.
They believe that both the attacker and the victim were homeless. They must have some disagreement where one of the guys took out his sword and chopped off his hand.
All right, the sword. There are more people walking around with swords and machetes.
Yeah, stabbings have been big lately, although this one's really...
Not just stabbings where you have a regular, you know, pocket knife or kitchen knife or something. They're walking around with swords and machetes. Where are they getting these from?
Whatever happened to that guy? Remember that the guy that attacked the home in Pasadena with the machete? It was a woman, actually. Remember?
Yes.
She walked up to the front door and she started smashing everything.
Where do they sell machetes?
And there was some guy at a homeless encampment who was walking down the street with machetes, wasn't he? Remember that story? Yeah. It was in Lincoln Heights, I think. Where do they get them? I think you can find them online. Yeah,
where the homeless get them? Where do it seems a disproportionate number of these vagrants are armed with
machetes. That comes under my category, John. Nothing to do and all day to do it, so they just wander around. Maybe they find one in the trash somewhere. Or
a sword.
Or they go to a flea market or somebody's...
I don't understand.
Yard sale. Right. Is a machete there? I don't know. I have no idea.
How many decades of your life did you live before you heard about a guy wielding a sword in public?
Chopping off
somebody's hand.
I guess, you know, you can make the case he could have stabbed him through the heart. He only chopped off his hand. He didn't kill him, right?
Yeah, now this is what they do to the thieves.
The guy should have went back and picked up his hand. I guess they couldn't reattach it.
I wish he'd run into those two robbers who beat the guy in downtown L.A.
Oh, that's true.
Chopped those guys' hands off. Now we got something.
That would have been good fate. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
What do you think, Duke of Sports? Lakers and six again?
Yes, that's the theme this year.
That is the theme in the first two playoff series. They can take out the Nuggets and six. That's what we got?
Yes.
They're underdogs tonight. And
They're underdogs for the whole series.
You think every game they'll be underdogs?
Well, according to Vegas, the odds to win the series, the Nuggets
they favor Denver. Well, the Nuggets number one seed, yeah.
Yes.
They had a great regular season. John, by the way, just looking quickly, what was his name? Bailey Ober? 2-0. 2-0. 1.85 ERA.
Yeah. Two more games than I won this year.
Well, now we're on the Dianne Feinstein watch here on the John and Ken Show, and this is concerning. Writing in Slate, a reporter by the name of Jim Newell related an exchange he had with the senator yesterday afternoon. He called it a brief, concerning conversation with Dianne Feinstein. Here's how it went. I asked her how she was feeling. She responded, "Oh, I'm feeling fine. I have a problem with the leg." A fellow reporter staking out the elevator asked, "What's wrong with your leg?" "Nothing that's anyone's concern but mine," she said. Okay, so far. When the fellow reporter asked her what the response from her colleagues had been like since her return, the conversation took an odd turn. "Well, no, I haven't been gone," she said. "You should follow me. I haven't been gone. I've been working." When I asked whether she meant that working from home, she turned feisty. "No, no, I haven't been. I've been voting. Please, you either know or you don't know." This is all in quotes.
She forgot that she wasn't there.
After deflecting a final question about those, like Representative Ro Khanna, who called on her to resign, she was wheeled away.
I think it's been established that her mind is half gone, at least, if not more. So she doesn't
know she was home for 3 months.
She doesn't remember. Well, what I've seen up close,
short-term memory's poor.
If it never happened. Because the memory wasn't stored. Your memory has to be stored, you know, through that magic way that brain cells store memories.
Yes.
And if the cells are dead or the transmission link is cut, then it never gets stored as a memory. Think of all the things you do that you don't remember, right?
Oh, of course.
Sure. In fact, I read once about somebody. You heard of photographic memory? This was somebody who actually remembered everything.
There are people that remember the details of every day of their life. I'm like, that can't be.
And this person says it's insanity. Because, you know...
it drives you crazy.
Yeah, you don't want to remember everything. You want to forget stuff. You want to, like, glide through the day. You don't want to be burdened by... Because, you know, there's a lot of bad memories there, right?
Yes,
A lot of upsetting things or stressful, tense things. And, you know, eventually you want to flush them and after a while pretend they never happened. That's what I do. I just pretend a lot of stuff never happened. I don't remember it anymore. And I'm thinking, my God, that would be a curse to not to forget anything at all. It's fascinating.
So, but my curiosity is if your short-term memory is really botched out, so these will never become long-term memories. So basically you're heading down a road of no memories, although you may have your long-term memories from your childhood or your...
She's living like a goldfish.
Yeah.
Remember, what was that?
Dory.
Dory, yes.
Dory, yeah, from Finding Nemo.
Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres, right? Every 10 seconds.
Wow.
That was the length of
I had heard they were going to monitor her closely because they did not want her getting involved in hallway conversations with reporters. That's the problem, is they wheel her around the Capitol.
Yeah, well.
The reporters like, oh, there she is. Let's see what's going on here.
And, yeah, they have a way of getting loose. Oh, my wife and I, when we first got together, we used to live next door across the street from a nursing home. A real nursing home. I remember I went in there once, and these people were so old. All their first names were Mildred. There were like a dozen people named Mildred, because that was like the name of the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Mildreds, that's what I called them, the Mildreds got loose, and they'd be walking in the middle of the street in front of our house, wandering around, and some, you know, the attendants would have to run out and get them, because they just would find a way to get away. Another loose Mildred.
Nobody wants to be locked away. No. People like to get some fresh air.
Yeah.
New experiences, even if you don't remember them.
Conway's here.
You know what you should have done is just open up the drapes, put on the Benny Hill theme song, and watch them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
right. And you know, to nowadays, instead of the guy coming out and just grabbing him and going home, some idiot would have filmed him and videotaped him, and they would have been all over the internet.
Yeah, I know. Well, we regular sightings back then on our block.
What would we do without you? Last night, Magoo. Tonight, Benny.
That's
Hill.
Right. But do you remember? Can you imagine how much crap we missed because none of us had video phones when we were younger?
Yeah, that's true.
How many things you saw that you're like, wow, man, I never seen anything like that.
Recorded that.
Isn't that a good thing our 20s weren't recorded?
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. Jail time for a lot of people.
Exactly.
42 million Americans are expected to travel around Memorial Day weekend, so we're going to go live to the airport and see the latest traffic.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'll go to the gas stations for you.
It's good radio. You know, it's the guy going to the post office on April 15th. Hey, we're here at the post office about 11:30. Yeah. So why are you so late with your taxes? Oh, I just blew it off.
Yeah, where are you traveling to this weekend?
Las Vegas. Everyone's going to Vegas. All right, and popular L.A. Kings mascot Bailey, nominated for the 2023 Mascot Hall of Fame.
That's a lion, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know why he's named Bailey?
No,
because, no, I don't.
The Kings used to have a scout named Bailey. And he would scout around the planet for the greatest hockey players. And he was coming from Boston. He had left Boston. And he was flying back to L.A. His flight was hijacked and went into the World Trade Center. And he was on that flight. So they named the mascot Bailey after that man.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a good story. Yeah. It's a good story.
And a true story.
And sad a true story. Story. And a sad story.
A sad story. But also good because they named something new.
Oh, and that's right. And every time I see Bailey, I think of, you know, his kids or whoever, you know, his family members are that they get to, you know,
Mark Thompson.
And Mark Thompson is in the house.
He doesn't remember. Conway doesn't remember unless I walk in. He doesn't know that it's Tuesdays I come in.
Oh, okay. If we want to go one-on-one.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
If you're doing a weekly show, a radio show once a week, don't you think you'd show up on time?
I thought this was on time.
Well, yeah, you're right. Their show's not on time.
He owned me. He owned me. He wins. He wins.
Roast it. You want to go again?
I'll give you. It's a bit of a gray area.
Yeah.
Because this is where
you got to know when to tap out. You got to know when to tap out. Like if I try to come over the top, now I'm a real a-hole. Right? You got to know as a pal when to tap out.
Does he stay to the end though? Does he do all three?
Oh yeah, no, he's great. Right.
Yeah. Thank God he does. Come on.
Once he gets here, he's great.
Yeah, once I get. But when I stumble in,
I wouldn't come next week.
That's classic.
All right. Conway Thompson.
Ding-dong.
All right.
Ding-dong.
Different show.
Hold on.
Different
show. Mike Crozier. He's busy. He's in conversation with Bellio. Okay, we'll just sit here and wait till he's
everybody.
Done.
So everybody's a little step behind today.
He has no idea that it's time for him to do the news. No, he's having a really good time with Belly on there.
All right.
Now, oh, look at that. He put his headphone on.
There we go.
There he is. He's. Are you ready?
I'm always ready. What are you waiting for? I don't even have my headphones to do my job, unlike some people.
Wow. Man, it's a show today.
They're cranked up to 10, everybody.
Oh, okay. Oh, there, I'm here.
And by the way,
you stay all 3 hours.
Eric, screw you, too.
Whoa. No one's safe today.
Crozier's got the news live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol Jean.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.